gusty wind that times around that corner of Sunset and Alvarado. Yeah, I know, things are tough all over. When the thunderstorms start increasing over the southeast and south central portions of my apartment, I get upset. And a line of thunderstorms was developing in the early morning hours ahead of a slow-moving cold front. Cold-blooded. With tornado watches issued shortly before noon Sunday for the areas including western region of my mental health and the northern portion of my ability to deal rationally with my disconcerted, precarious emotional situation. Cold out there. Colder than a ticket taker smile at the Ivor Theater on Saturday night. Flag flood watches cover the southern portion of my disposition.
Yeah.
There was no severe weather well into the afternoon, except for kind of a lone gust of wind in the bedroom.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome, welcome to the French Connections Tuesday edition. Daryl Bradford Smith, your host on the 17th day of January. It's great to have you here with me on the show. Got a guest in the second hour today, so the phones will be open for the first hour. I got to be honest with you, it's getting harder for me to get guests. The word's out and people are running for cover. That guy, Daryl Bradford Smith, he's in trouble. I guess I'm not in trouble, guys. What I'm trying to do is inform the world and America especially just how late an hour we're all in. And I want to say right up front that I do not believe in any way that racism is a good thing. I am not racist, nor am I xenophobic. And when I speak about the groups that I have targeted here for or singled out for my investigative work and the stuff that's going on the planet, it had nothing to do with me having a particular bent toward this group in the first instance. I didn't have a plan to find these horrors that I have discovered. In fact, this has been as sad a journey for me as anyone out there could imagine. It is sickening and in the extreme to find out that Zionism has been responsible for 100 million or more deaths in a single century. And Benjamin Friedman just says it so clearly when you read what he says, I mean, or you listen to his actual voice saying it, and he was there, first person. And then the things he leads you to, when you start looking at Untermyer, and you look at Brandeis, and you look at, oh, this man named House, Colonel House. Good gracious, this man, he has to be investigated. He needs to be looked into. I've been put on a lead of a book that you need to look at on this man. And so when we start going down these paths, you know, I am not an expert in this. I'm a neophyte, as many of you are out there. Actually, many of you may be better informed than myself. There's people who have called in the show with many informative statements. I've talked to reverends and ministers. I've talked to rabbis about these people. This shows you that my investigation and my work here is not from any particular religious bent or from any hatred for Jews, for Christians, for anybody. I hate criminals, ladies and gentlemen. I hate people who believe in crimes that result in death and murder and obfuscation and lies and suffering. These are the things that I abhor. And that's why this job for me, that's why I've kept doing this. I mean, you know, certainly I don't get paid. I thank everybody who sent me a buck. I'm up to 490 in going on 4 months. $490, which comes out to about 330 euros. That has been helpful. It goes, my cousin helps me out with the counting of it, and she's honest, and it's small potatoes, but it helps. And but that's because I'm a small potatoes kind of operation here. This is just a struggle. the bad guys out there who are listening will be pleased to know that, but I don't have big bills. I mean, I don't have a staff. It's myself, it's Eric, it's a couple of people that I trust. Of course, I've been sicking their bad guys on me, trying to get me to go down certain roads. I got people from right-wing Republican think tanks trying to get in touch with me. And then when I wouldn't respond the way they wished me to, they started telling me they're going to tell the French government on my activities and going to do all this other stuff to me and put me in danger and all this other stuff. So, you know, it just comes from everywhere. And, of course, this doesn't make me feel very well, and I don't have good health. And this is not a lie, ladies and gentlemen. I am not in good health. And you know, mental health, my emotional health is fine. I just physically am not in the greatest of health. And I struggle through this stuff. And sometimes I just get real tired and real tired of it all. But I don't want to leave this mess to my sons and my grandchildren. I don't want your families to die in what these people have planned for us. You know, the last century's 100 million is going to be a drop in the bucket compared to what they're going to do to us next. And if you don't think that's true, you really need to do some looking into this stuff behind the scenes here. You know, it is a horror story of only the Bible could create. I'm telling you guys, you read this stuff about this pestilence they've got planned and the stuff coming, and then you think about why Americans are not listening. I mean, they, you know, everybody's worried about bird flu. I'm worried about bird brains. We've got a whole nation full of bird brains, and my listening audience, 5,000, and I got people saying, well, if I was nicer, maybe more people would be tuning in. I'm not on this to be nice. Who said I was nice? I'm not nice. My wife likes me, all right, sometimes. but I'm not a nice guy about this stuff. This is not a nice subject. It's not a nice thing. Nice guys wouldn't be able to do this bloody job. It's just so sickening. I mean, it's horrific. You got to have a cast iron stomach to handle this, and this is not a job for nice guys. It's a job for people who can handle horror stories, and that's exactly what Benjamin Friedman shares when you listen. You've got to go to my website, IamTheWitness.com, and listen to Benjamin Friedman. That is a must for every person on the planet who wants to stop these criminals. And you know, he says it so clear, he doesn't mince words. And then when you finally hear that and it changes the way you believe, you knew everything beforehand, you thought you knew the world, and then all of a sudden this man changes everything you believe, because you know he's sincere, you know he's accurate, but then you look behind to confirm it, and all the proof is there, and you find out Benjamin Friedman was 100% on the money, and there's all kinds of other stuff he didn't talk about, and you go, boy, oh boy, are we in trouble. And then what happens? The rest of the mess that they've been pulling on us comes into focus, and it's like getting hit with a hammer in the head. Boy, do you get cleared up. You can't, all of the lies they've told just all of a sudden melt away, and here you are faced with this stark reality that is just painful in visceral ways. It's painful. It's all I can say to you, you know, and if it weren't for a loving wife and stuff, I couldn't get through this. Stick with me today. Call me, 1-800-259-5791. If you got a tidbit of knowledge for me or a tip, or you just want to chew me out and want to get in an argument with me, here's the number. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. More French Connection. We are back. Daryl Bradford Smith is your host today. That's me. I'm coming to you direct and live from my farm here in central France. And we're going to, phone lines are open, 1-800-259-5791. You know, this whole truth thing, and where are we at with it? I mean, they're talking now, of course. I got some information recently about March, of course, so there's several people saying this. But the Jewish holiday of Purim has been picked, according to some people. Now, I don't know if that's an exact date or not, but it's very suspicious, because it was the day they used to invade Iraq. And it was all symbolic for some reason, because I think it's the day of the battle with Esau or something, somebody wrote to me. And I'm not an expert at any of this stuff, because I, you know, frankly, guys, I think this kind of thinking is dangerous stuff here. I mean, you know, if you're going to start trying to play out biblical prophecy with the lives of people around the world, this is a madness beyond anything I can wrap my head around. But actually, it looks like they're trying to do stuff like this, and apparently this stuff means something to these folks, and so they've chosen this day to do this invasion, and they did it once already, and they'll probably do it again, and geez, it's a worrisome sign. And if that actually does happen on the day that I just said, boy, how scary is that, you know. It just goes to show you where the leadership is and who's leading things here. I mean, this is the Bill Kristol and the Wolfowitz guys and the Douglas Faiths and all. This is the lower level Zionists, and then we go up the ladder to the top. And of course, you know, there are so many of these people in very powerful positions, and you know, much of what many that want me to continue fear, many of them fear that they will try to paint me with this terrible brush of racist and stuff, and I'm wondering if, you know, they would be able to get away with that. I mean, because it would be a very bizarre thing to try to say about me, because I'm certainly not that. Renee, are you on line with me, Renee?
Yes, I am.
Well, what do you got to say to me, Renee, today?
Well, I tell you what, I was watching the History Channel, and that, you know, about Stalin. And, you know, I'm watching all this and I'm thinking how we tend to demonize only the people at the top. Stalin, Hitler. I tell you what, that thing about Stalin was scary. I thought, there's our future.
Yes, you're right. Exactly right. And you know something? Take a look at the Jacobins also, because this is the same people that put up the Jacobins to slaughter people. And then take a look at Oliver Cromwell, and it's the same folks again. And look at the way they went across the countryside hacking and slashing people away, and it's just frightful.
It's awful. Well, and but you know what? The people in power better remember right here in this country that Stalin killed his own, like, Congress and all his top military leaders. He killed them, too. So all these people that think they're safe, they better think again, okay? Because they think, oh, I'm part of the system. I'm safe. I'll be doing the exploiting, not being the exploited. You know, because the truth is, these people couldn't do anything. I'm not worried about Mr. Rothschild coming and knocking on my door. Okay.
Well, but he's going to send his agents over there. Trust me on that one.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, though, that's just it. All these people, the police and military, in other words, or acting, like you said, as agents for them. If they just wouldn't do it, these people would have no power. But they're selling out their own children and grandchildren because they've dangled a promise of a government pension for them. Well, I tell you what, they'll probably never get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I hope every day they see the eyes of their grandchildren and children, and I hope it turns out where it's worth it for them.
Well, I agree with that. You know something, Renee? That's one of the things that when I'm talking on the phone to people privately, and I know I'm being heard, listened to, I know it, because sometimes they mess up and there's actual people talking in my phone and stuff that are not supposed to be there. And the fact is, I say to myself, how do these people go home at night and divorce themselves from the reality that they know is, can they do it? How can they not be wanting to save the America that everyone knows we could be? We could be such a wonderful place.
I know, and that's why I tell you it, because I think we need to understand the real psychology of ourselves and these people, and I think that would make a great show. The thing is, we need to understand the psychology of power and those who have it, and the symbiotic relationship between those with power and those without power, and what are the lies that people tell themselves in order to rationalize what they do. If you could find a really good psychologist, I tell you what, I think that'd be one bang-up show. And, you know, because I think people really need to understand get down to the nitty-gritty of what's really going on, because in a lot of ways, we don't even know ourselves. We've been lied to all our lives. Practically everything in our life is a lie, but most people can't face that reality. But, you know, even with history, Daryl, the thing is, all that we know is what they tell us, and because we don't have a time machine. I once was talking with this woman, and she's telling me how, oh, yeah, America's the greatest country of all, this, that, and the other, and we have it better than everybody else. And I knew this person had never left the state. Okay, so I go, oh, I didn't know you traveled internationally.
Well, you know, she hadn't,
of course. And then I said, so how do you know what you know? I said, because somebody told you. How do you know if they told you the truth?
Well, let me tell you something, Renee. My son wanted to know if they had automatic tellers in France. And I said, oh, yeah, we have electric lights, too. And also, you know, we have actual roads and street lights and electricity. And my son looked at me and said, Dad, you know, come on, wise guy. And I said, you have to – well, he had never come to France before. The place is brand new here. I mean, it's – you would be surprised. Americans would be surprised. There's no holes in the roads. There's no holes in their buildings. There's no graffiti on walls. It's just not – it's unbelievable.
Well, I can tell you the roads here are horrible.
Yeah.
They make them cheaply using blacktop instead of concrete on loops surrounding the city on stuff that is, after just a little snow, we have potholes everywhere in all this blacktop. It's horrible. And
yeah.
I can tell you from living in Louisiana how much people don't know, because when we travel to other areas, and I mean, I lived in a pretty little, from Louisiana, pretty little cosmopolitan city when I was there. And I mean, people really thought, you know, we T-rolled to school and, you know, wrestled alligators. And I mean, it's amazing the stuff people believe.
You're right. And, you know, the bottom line is that what we're in a situation now where they're looking to just let the country implode. And I'm sure of that, as I am, and that I'm sitting on the radio with you now. Renee, thank you for your commentary. It's always wonderful. I appreciate you calling very much. Ladies and gentlemen, when we return, we have more from the French Connection and your calls. 1-800-259-5791. Back to those smooth jazz sounds. I love jazz, and it helps me pass the difficult moments of my life often, and I put it on as much as I can. You know who else I really love? Patti LaBelle. My goodness, guys. Has there been a voice since or before? I mean, come on. Whatever happened to music, you know? I don't know. Maybe it's just age, and I just, all this blah, blah music. I don't get it. I don't get it, but maybe I'm not supposed to. Maybe that's for the younger generation, but boy, it doesn't sound like music to me at all. Anyway, my callers are often more informed about facts than I am, and that's not surprising. I'm not a theologian, nor am I a scholar in many areas, and I did study in university many subjects, but certainly not this subject. This is something I've had to come to learn, like you will have to. If you're going to fight this fight. And the person that's on the line right now, Chris, you're on with me, Chris. How are you?
Hi, Daryl.
Well, you know, you've always got very interesting information to share with everybody, so I wanted to give you a chance to maybe drop a pearl of wisdom on everybody if you've got one.
Well, first I wanted to thank you for all your efforts, and I can't imagine why guests would be reluctant to come on, because this is a wonderful investment. Your show is like buying stock on the ground floor as the company rises up. I'm sure those guests who are with you now, when you become more and more famous, will be very glad that they stuck by you and rode the wave with you.
Well, I'm not looking for fame, and nor am I looking for fortune. I'm looking for a future, and it certainly does look very challenged at the moment, and I don't know that we're getting the word out in any important way at the moment. And I'm wondering what you think about that. I think, you know, if they implode the economy and shut the internet down and free speech, which is a very big, real possibility, there will be no future message from this host. Yeah?
Well, it's a possibility, but there are a lot of things that are possible. And It's a challenge, and you can meet it, and you can beat it. I'm sure you've had other challenges in life, as we all have. Let me shift gears. What do you think of this chess game that's playing out in the Middle East with Iran? Do you think the president of Iran is trying to foment a war and collude with Israel?
Of course he is. Absolutely he is. My belief is, and this is one of the reasons why I don't want him in any way involved in any Holocaust investigation, because certainly anything that he finds out would be suspect. That place has been working clandestinely with Mossad and with leadership, Zionist leadership, for a very long time, all the way back into the 80s with the Iran-Contra and before. And so, you know, the grip of these folks has never been relinquished in Iran, and I think they're doing this to sell this to both the world and the Iranian public, which is, by the way, about 45% below 25 years old. So they're worried about a general uprising of that population, so they're going to try to control that information, I believe.
And what do you think of the players, China and Russia? I know China is interested in gaining Taiwan, and it will use every event in the world to try to push to gain advantage over Taiwan and its grip of that. And I suspect what might be happening is that the Russians want to control the oil fields and sell the oil to the Chinese, and the Chinese want to maneuver to make a deal so that they get a little more leverage over Taiwan, and Iran is being used as the fulcrum for the lever.
I believe that's true, and here's why they want Taiwan so badly. When Chiang Kai-shek was leaving China, he took all the jewels and all of the greatest treasures of China's history with him. They are all sitting in Taipei in a very in other words, he took everything that the history left behind, and he just confiscated it and ran off to Formosa at the time, and then was abandoned there by America's support, basically, because the Zionists had decided that Mao was going to be the man. And I agree with you that there's a lot of power playing going on right now. There's a huge Jewish group in Moscow right now putting a great amount of pressure on Putin to allow the Security Council to make this Iranian attack happen.
Didn't the former mayor of Jerusalem announce a trip to Moscow? There's
a whole group of them that went from the United States and from Europe, and they're all there putting pressure on the Russians not to veto. And if there's a clandestine deal behind the scenes to kind of relinquish control over Taiwan, we might see this attack happen on Iran and a furthering of the plans of these Zionists, which I'm not completely up on, but certainly some of it's played out in prophecy and biblical ways, I think.
No doubt about that. Do you think the ultimate goal is a broader war, or do you think they're going to try to settle this politically and economically and scare people into taking actions which gain advantage for all the players except for the Iranian people, who are going to lose their sovereignty and their natural resources?
Well, it's always been my hope that, you know, people could work things out. But looking at history, they've never had that as a goal. The goal has always been hegemony. It's always been more control. It's always been financial embellishments. It's always been furthering the criminal conspiracy, and then ultimately it's about getting the Jewish community worldwide to return to this area. And so if those goals are not going to be, they're going to be fundamental to anything they do, whether it be in the moment or in the near future or in the far future, that is the goal, and it seems to me they'll use any means to get to that goal.
I suspect that's true. I suspect they want especially hegemony over the region from the Nile to the Euphrates to form a greater Israel, and they're going to need people to populate that greater Israel.
That's right.
And there are still large numbers of Jews in America and Russia.
Well, there are, and there are approximately 5 million across the United States. And here's the thing, you know, they may try to use this broadcast to their advantage by making them, the Jewish population, feel that they're under some kind of assault by people like myself. But that is couldn't be farther from the truth, Chris.
No, you're trying to save them from it.
And you are absolutely right, I am. And the fact is, in NutriCarta, it says it correctly, that the people who claim to have this Messiah right, this Rothschild group here, they certainly are not that person, and Luke Tricarta doesn't believe so. And the facts are, I don't want to injure Jews at all. I want them to be my ally and stand shoulder to shoulder with me against this terrible conspiracy.
Well, the underlying fact is they don't have a religious or political right to do what they're doing, and they do it dictatorially and undemocratically, and they exclude the Jewish people at large, who are such a varied and diverse group. They pretend to speak on their behalf, and yet they never ask them what it is they think.
Well, they don't ask anybody what they think. I mean, take a look at 100 million murders in a 100-year period. I mean, you know, that is horrendous. We worry about what happens on a daily basis in this world, but can you imagine in a single century that a group is responsible for that? Let me hold you over for one little more period there, Chris, to maybe continue with this discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, Daryl Bradford Smith, IamTheWitness.com. Give me a call. Gentlemen, French Connection is the show. Daryl Bradford Smith is your host. That's me coming to you live and direct from central France. And we got a caller on the line that I really treasure having his information. Chris, I got a question for you. You know, so much of this goes to the biblical and to the prophesied. And I'm just wondering where on that timeline we are. I don't know that much about this stuff. I mean, I did go to Catholic school, but, you know, you have to understand, in my Catholic school, half the students weren't Catholic, and including myself. Reason why people went to my Catholic boys' school, because it was a great place to get an education.
Yeah.
And because I wasn't a Catholic, I didn't have to go to chapel. Uh-huh. They exempted me from chapel. So I didn't really benefit from their theology stuff. I did get a great education from the Jesuits.
Well, it's a shame it's being imposed on you by politics.
Well, you're right, and I'm having to get a quick study education here, and I'm wondering on this timeline, where are we if you're going to follow this stuff from a prophecy standpoint?
Well, that's always a big question. What year is going to be the beginning of the end of time, and many people have predicted the apocalypse and all those things. I don't think... it works quite that way in the modern world, and I think Christians need to understand that there's a distinction between the Jewish conception of the Messiah and the Christian conception of the Messiah. The Jewish conception of the Messiah is very different from the Christian conception, and it's one of the reasons that they believe that Jesus was a false Messiah, because he was very gentle-natured and did not destroy the nations with an iron scepter.
And that's written in their Torahs that the Messiah will crush nations with an iron scepter?
Exactly. And that they also have various traditions evolved in time. One tradition has it that the Jewish king will be the Messiah, but it won't be the final Messiah, that the Messiahship will simply be an aristocracy among the Jews of a specific family where they marry very beautiful women and continue on as a dynasty. And that may, in fact, be occurring with the Rothschild family and their descendants. They may have been accepted as the Messiah since they were able to enact events which brought about the State of Israel. And that's one of the reasons why the rabbis fought against them so hard, is that they believe that Rothschild was a false Messiah. And there have been many false Messiahs in history. There's another doctrine of the Jewish Messiah whereby the Messiah is an incarnation like the Dalai Lama. When one Messiah dies, the next Messiah will enter the body of another person, and that person will become the Messiah. And that was the mythology of Sabbatai Zevi and Jacob Frank in Poland.
So there is a lot of dissension within their own ranks as to how this is playing out. But you've got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when a group has... like the Rothschild family has a trillion in asset control, they can make governments and people disappear and things happen that are just beyond anything you can even conceive of. And that's real power. It really is. You said it in a previous show. That is real power.
Well, they can make nations disappear, and they can make religions disappear. And they've been working at it for hundreds of years, but now they, communism itself made nations disappear and made religions disappear, and communism never would have succeeded were it not for monies funneled from top Jewish financiers around the world. If you find the communist leadership, very often you find direct links to Jewish financiers.
Well, that's what it, that's the case in America and during the McCarthy period, and in fact, there was a lot of evidence that McCarthy was onto something quite important, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And Benjamin Friedman was before McCarthy. He was spearheaded that whole movement to save America from what he called the communist conspiracy. And he felt that the Roosevelt administration had been infested with communists and that the communists were taking over the government and setting us up. And I think we might be in a communist state today were it not for his efforts, which is why I continue to encourage you to expose the truth. And if you say something that's wrong, let somebody point it out. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I'm not the all-seeing soothsayer here.
No one is.
And no, and I don't claim that, and I certainly don't claim any right to speak for others. I speak for myself, and I let my guests and people who call the show speak for themselves. But I certainly want everyone to know that I do this from a standpoint of righteousness, and in that, I wish no ill will to anybody who wishes the world well. And I got to be honest with you. This is not. There are some very terribly evil human beings plotting some awful things for us all, aren't there, Christopher?
Well, you can see it. Again, you put up the example of the 20th century, which is a model that wasn't created in the 20th century. It was simply amplified in the 20th century, which leads one to believe that the next wave, the next evolution, will be even more severe and more universal.
Yeah.
Whenever governments start taking away people's rights, they're doing it for a purpose. They don't do it for no purpose. And when that happened in Russia, the Russian people suffered terribly. They lost their religion. They lost their best people to mass murders on scales we can't begin to imagine. And they'll suffer for it forever. Some of their smartest, most creative people were wiped out of the gene pool.
Well, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, thanks, Chris, for your call. I appreciate your input, my friend. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we have Chris from Texas calling in. Stick with me. We're back. We're back. Ladies and gentlemen, Daryl Bradford Smith, IamTheWitness.com is the website. You can go there for all kinds of learning and experiences. We put that site together, Eric and I, with news and articles and all kinds of stuff. It is unique in the world, our website, and I recommend everybody that is listening to go there and check it out. Chris from Texas, you're on the air with us. Chris, what's your question today?
Hi, Daryl. I just first want to say I think you're doing a very, very excellent job in getting the message out.
Thank you.
And I was getting, I like to keep my mind open and, you know, not dismiss anything, but I was keeping my mind a little too open, and you kind of, your website kind of really kept me focused on what we should be focusing on instead of all these UFOs and what's and what is. And, you know, I'm not dismissing none of that, but we really should stick to what's documented, what's been admitted, and you're doing a very, very good job doing that, Daryl.
Thank you very much.
And I recommend my site to everybody that I come across that think like I do. And I think you're doing a really good job. And one question is, with Israel and Iran, what's the double standard with Israel? I mean, these guys got so much nuclear weapons, and they have a space program and Lord knows what. And, I mean, why doesn't the IAEA go after these guys? I mean,
I got to tell you, Chris, let me tell you why. I mean, we've got people like John Bolton in the United Nations, who's a Zionist, and we've got people around the world who are bought and paid for by this group that allow them to veto any attempt to make these people come clean. That you'll never get a passage in any security council that's been there for the last 60 years. America will veto it, or some other country will, that's controlled by them. And that's why we've never, and the IAEA is a a United Nations organ. And so it's just not happening. And they're either the third or fourth largest nuclear armed country in the world today.
Right.
And you know, Mordecai Vanunu has made it very clear that that these folks are even willing to first strike a country. So they're dangerous beyond anything you can imagine, and they've got hegemony in their eyes, and they've got malice for the countries around them in their heart. And you mix all those things together, and you've got a very, very dangerous condition in the Middle East and in the world.
I'm trying to still figure out President Mahmoud up in Iran. I mean, what's he thinking, saying, well, we need to wipe Israel off the map, and then the next thing you know, they're installing their nuclear program. So
what that's about is that's a setup, it looks like to me. I mean, it looks like this guy he's a setup. I mean, the American government and the Israeli government have had backdoor relationship with Iran forever. Hamas is financed by Iran at the behest of the Israelis so that they can keep a constant state of hatred going in their nation and keep their people in a constant state of fear, and they're always in the news. Look how much they hate us. Look how much the Arabs hate us. So they can forward and propel themselves into what their next move is. And that's the real reason, ladies and gentlemen. And I thanks for Chris for the call. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break coming up for the top of the hour, fake news. And then after that, we're going to have hopefully Jimmy Rothstein, if he's able to get back in time to be on the show. When we return, ladies and gentlemen, more from the French Connection.